This is a pre-recorded version of the WTKA Roundtable on WTKA, unsurprisingly, 9 o'clock Thursdays. It is pre-recorded, however, so if you call in, no one will answer.
Here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Mr. Ira Weintraub on the other side, and it's MGO Blog Roundtable time. You know how we do every Thursday at the 9 o'clock hour. The crew from MGO Blog joins us. Of course, we start off first with my fellow Lion fan. He's wearing his Lions jersey this morning, giving the proper mojo to the Lions, getting Aiden Hutchinson, none other than Seth Fisher. Seth, how are you this morning?
Forward down the field, Sam. I told Brian that we're going to be talking Lions on the show today, and I don't see him here, so I don't know what's going on.
See, I got to pull out. I had to pull out the Barry jersey for this one.
Oh, nice, nice.
Barry jersey.
I have a Sue jersey because that's what all Lions fans do. We feel like men when we put on our Sue jerseys.
All right, the venerable Craig Ross, who is a he went from the Browns to the Lions. Like, who chooses the Lions? We had to be Lions fans. You, on the other hand, are choosing the Lions.
Well, I have a love-hate relationship with the Browns, mostly hate these days. So I became a Lions fan because I live here and, you know, and because Sam is a Lion fan. So I've become a Lions fan, and I still pay attention to the Browns.
All right.
You can't let Craig fool you like that. His favorite team is whoever he picks on Sundays. He'll pick every game, and he'll come find me and be like, did you see what my favorite team did today? And it's just fill in the blank.
And that voice, in making his MGO Blog Roundtable debut from MGO Blog, Dave Nasternak. Dave, how are you this morning?
I'm doing well, Sam. Thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. So guys, I feel like we should attack the news week, the sports news week, in order. The first big news item we got, Aiden Hutchinson back in Ann Arbor for year number 3. We had been
Aiden Hutchinson?
About, really?
We got him Aiden back? Hutchinson's going back?
I am really excited.
My bad. Hunter Dickinson coming back for year 3 for the Wolverines. Something that we've been talking about for weeks, right? We've been saying it. Hunter was telling folks on the inside that he's going to be back in Ann Arbor. They were saying it inside, but, you know, still kind of waiting to see if wait until it was official and he made it public. Well, he did that back for year 3. This is huge news for Michigan, huge news for him. And this is an NIL play all the way, Seth.
Well, actually, Hunter made it clear what put him over the top, and it was our photographer Mark Greger's photo of where he's standing like Les Miserables in front of everybody, and like the love that he had, like that vision of himself was really what put him over there. Seriously, like that, the
it
love
was one of the
Michigan
best photos you guys have ever posted. Mark did an unbelievable job. And I told him that. It's one of the best photos ever out of Chrysler, period.
MG is incredible, and he's for hire. So anyone who's looking for a photographer, shout out to him. But really, I think that Hunter realized there's a lot of love here from Michigan. And I think Michigan fans made it very clear to him, both through NIL and also just the people who were interacting with him. And when he was going to Tigers games and like showing up at the hockey games and like that, you saw that guy sprawled out everywhere, right? And wherever he went, Michigan fans were just all over him. NBA fans were not like, hey, man, I hope you get drafted by my team. I don't imagine NBA teams themselves were saying much of the same. So I mean, it makes sense for him, and you know, I'm glad that we've gotten to that point, because when we talked about this years ago and we said you got to pay the players, one of the main reasons we said that the NCAA should just allow this, is that they get to keep some of the players they wouldn't otherwise. And Hunter Dickinson's a great example of a guy who is very valuable to college football. He's a heel. Everyone loves to hate him. If they're not playing, if he's on your team, you love him. He makes college basketball way more fun, and he would not be doing the same thing in the NBA.
You know, this is really a great point, Seth, because if you look around just the Big Ten, for example, yesterday, what's the kid, Coleman Hawkins at Illinois. Now, Illinois has lost eight players already, either NBA or portal. And
nobody
and
wants
says,
to play for Underwood.
Yeah, and Hawkins is saying, I think I'm leaving. You know, and Grandison may be leaving too. So they have nothing there. And so there's a team that should be interesting this year and may be completely boring. Kofi decided finally he is going to the NBA. You don't want a whole league with everyone saying, who's this guy? Who's that guy? Who's this? You know, you want a league with some star power and some continuity. And so your point is really good. And incidentally, Michigan right now, if you look over the rosters, with or without Musa and Caleb, probably is going to be the favorite next year because Hunter's back and because of what else they have coming back. Aside from the probability, my guess that Caleb will probably be back, at least. I don't know about Musa.
Yeah, that's my belief too. Dave, mm-hmm. Big news, Hunter coming back.
No, it is. I mean, I was kind of more on the team of like, I always sort of thought he might a little bit, like you were saying originally. Craig makes a good point about bringing a star back. The thing is in college basketball, though, is like with the transfer portal, you know, teams change over a ton every year. So you never really know what your entire team is going to look like. And every time you think it's set, something else happens. And, you know, what did Minnesota lose their entire roster and then went on an early season run and won a bunch of games? No one thought they were going to win. They came to Chrysler. So, I mean, it's really exciting about Hunter, but you kind of have to let time go also and see how all the other pieces fall and then kind of what you have.
Yeah, that was the interesting thing about Coleman Hawkins and talking about Illinois. He was like, kind of want to see what happens, you know, what's going to happen with the roster, who's going to come, who's going to go. And he talked about the communication, not being the best over there. Right? It was like,
nobody wants to play for Underwood.
What circumstance would you come back? Sounds like it's a place you don't want to be at, but very, very different for Hunter with this squad, with this coaching staff. And again, this is the upside of NIL. The flip side of NIL, and this is something that I know the players are thinking about. This is something I know that raised Hunter's eyebrow. Did you guys see the Nigel Pack deal?
Yeah.
To my
head.
400,000 a year plus a car.
Like,
you know.
Man. I mean, it doesn't get more brazen or blatant than that NIL is an enticement. It's a recruiting inducement. I mean, what they said you weren't supposed to do. You can find a way, an interpretation that allows you to do it that way. So it gets back to our question that we debated a bit last week. I mean, should you have a more liberal, the most liberal interpretation of NIL rules possible until there is some rigid rule book, some finite consequence for violations? I mean, for now, it seems like the schools are really doing what they want.
Should does not matter. But the answer, because should is a question of what does the NCAA regulate? And the NCAA has no power whatsoever to regulate this. They came down with basically interpret it how you want to, but we don't want the schools being involved. So what happens? Minnesota and Tennessee in the last couple of weeks just passed laws saying, what? The schools get to be involved. So the NCAA can't handle any of this because the only thing that people care about at their state legislatures right now is whether their college football teams are doing well. That's the only legislation that's getting it. The only public policy that's getting done right now is let's make sure the NCAA can't have whatever they want to have. There's no new president. There's no change you can make at the NCAA that's going to change that. All they can do is follow the structure of every other league out there and start doing and going to contracts. They're going to head that way. And I mean, everyone looks at Miami and says, this is terrible. How could they do this? They're blatantly breaking the spirit of the rule. Well, yeah, There's nothing going to happen.
Is there a rule, though? I mean, like, that's the question. Is there even a rule?
I mean, there technically is a rule right now, unless you're in the two states that said you can't do it anymore, where the NCAA specifically said the schools can't be involved. Now, everyone's jumping around that. Michigan's jumping around that, too. So it's a ridiculous rule that has no fangs. It's just, it's going to go away just like everything else they try, because everyone's going to try to one-up each other. It's, you just have to, if you want to actually do this right, you just have to create some sort of contract situation and let it be. I mean, that's how everyone else in a capitalist economy does this.
But that's just going to come at a certain point, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, that's just how it works, is someone's going to figure that out, and then they're going to build in incentives, and then, you know, there's going to be workarounds to that. I mean, that's just the nature of business to an extent.
The part could be because the schools themselves are a party. And ultimately, they're going to, in these negotiations, they're going to get to the point where the schools say, we want you here, but we need some assurity that you're going to be here, right? We're going to bring all this money together. We're going to be putting all this effort into you. We want an assurity that you're going to stick around for X number of years. How do you do that? Well, you can write anything into a contract.
Yeah, I suspect that's the way we're going. I agree with you, Seth. I mean, how does the NCAA, I mean, if the state of Minnesota and if the state of Tennessee has said cowboy days are back and you can do whatever you want, schools, how does the NCAA come to say Michigan and say, oh no, we're going to enforce something that's being allowed in due to the vagaries of state law in 20 other places? The fact is, A, they probably can't, and B, we know they won't. And so, yeah, it's over. And
I mean, do they even care?
No, the NCAA probably doesn't care. What the NCAA cares is how deep can they get their fingers into your pocket.
Right.
That's what they care about. And after that,
they're in pure survival mode. So they fire Mark Emmert. They say mutual parting of the ways, but he just signed a 5-year extension last year. He got fired. He's going to get a nice severance package. But they got to figure out a way forward. Where do they go to find someone that can come up with the plan that makes them relevant beyond the NCAA tournament? I mean, do you have an ideal sort of candidate to take over the mess that Mark Emmert leaves behind?
You know, the rumor, of course, it's the person Sandy at PSU who just retired.
Oh, Sandy Barber.
Yeah, that's the rumor. But I have no idea. I mean, I'm just reporting the rumors behind the news. But but that's out there. I don't know. You know, here's an idea. Maybe the NCAA or the new president of the CEO of the NCAA can figure out how to straighten out the hockey tournament up, because they've managed to ruin that one completely. Maybe they can make some sense out of it.
Yeah, I wish that was like the biggest decision they had to make, right?
You have to understand who is the president of the NCAA. It's the face they put on a dysfunctional organization that is there to represent the presidents of these schools who are in charge of programs that basically can get them hired or fired, and it's the only thing that can get them in trouble, unless you're at Michigan and, you know, we actually investigate things. Getting off that topic very quickly. The things that they're trying to do are make the presidents who are trying to get donations from their big donors, make sure that they have a scenario that they're happy with, which is minimum amount of money going to the players, maximum amount of money going to the schools. That's really what the NCAA is focused on these days. They want to maximize the contracts that they get for TV. They want to impress the major donor people, the people who are, you know, Mark Emmert's people. Mark Emmert was an LSU dude, right? That's who he was. So that's exactly who they're focusing on, and who replaces Mark Emmert really doesn't matter, because the system is not going to change. The NCAA is completely broken. It doesn't have anything to do with collegiate athletics anymore, except for how much can they, you know, profit from it and keep salaries down. I don't expect anything good to come out of the NCAA.
Yeah, so I think what we saw in the firing of Mark Emmert, that there's an understanding that they can no longer pacify. Like, the status quo was not sustainable. I mean, and not by their choice. I mean, the courts told them it was no longer sustainable, right? So they're getting sued left and right. They can't make any decisions. They spent hundreds of millions of dollars trying to defend a position that was ultimately not defensible. So now you got to find someone that can actually come up with a plan that A, you know, allows them to survive. B, part of that survival is how do you bring players to the table? You got to validate the input of the players more than they ever did before, because you just saw that they will sue you if you don't. So right now, guys, and tell me if you see it this way, I feel like the NCAA has been sued into sued to the sideline. So now before they make a move, they say, well, will we get sued? Yes. So they don't do anything. If you don't want to get sued, you had better go out and figure out a way to bring the players to the table. I don't know how you do that without them unionizing, but that's going to be part of this process moving forward.
You're right. There's a power vacuum right now because the NCAA has been sidelined. And, you know, the players have an opportunity to unionize right now because the schools are going to be looking for somebody to get control of this, right? Like, Craig, you're more into legal stuff than I, you understand this kind of, and much better than I do, I'm sure. But like that's how it's typically happened in these industries, where like the regulatory body is gone, and somebody needs to make a deal with somebody. And the schools, who are they going to turn to? Well, if there's a union of players, then the schools actually do have somebody to negotiate with and figure out how to get some control of this.
Yeah, isn't it interesting though that like all the players turn over so much though? So like, a lot of them, at least in the main sports, were only there for 1-2 years even. So then they're out and you bring another group in, and do you ever even know what anyone is thinking or wanting? Obviously, there are certain things that everybody wants, but beyond that, I mean, like, you're just trying to juggle through.
Right. They're a class of people who have certain needs and wants. So I think you can negotiate with them in that. But like, the players probably are more replaceable than they realize. And a certain, you know, some of them right now are using their leverage to, you know, to get what they want. And some of them are really getting paid. But if you have a system where you have like open transfers every year, it's easier to replace a player. If you're losing a guy who's, you know, a great 3-point shooter, instead of rallying all the NIL money you can to keep that guy, you can look in the portal and maybe find another guy as a 3-point shooter.
Unless you're Michigan.
Yeah, well, speaking of the portal, a guy went into the portal yesterday from
Jackrabbit?
Chattanooga.
No. Okay.
And his name is Malachi Smith. And I think he is a better and more likely fit for Michigan than other people that have been talked about. Now, I don't know if Michigan's interested in him or not. They should be. Because that was Chattanooga was a good team this year. They made the NCAAs. They lost by 1 point to Illinois in the first round of the NCAA tournament, and they held Illinois to 54 points. And it's a good defensive team, particularly in the backcourt. And this guy's a 6'4" shooting guard, averaged about 20 points, 7 rebounds. And I scrambled to watch some of his tape this morning. He was a 40% 3-point shooter, he's NBA range, to me, this is a guy who's the perfect fit. Now, they've looked at Terrence Shannon. The rumor out of Texas is that Michigan's not getting him into school. Whether that's a true rumor or not, I don't know.
He definitely told when the word started making the rounds that he had committed. They were very quick on the uptake, and he made it clear to them he had not settled on Michigan yet, that there was a credit transfer thing at play. Now, the word that I got out of Texas Tech is they think they have a chance to keep it. I don't know how realistic that is, but it's an NIL thing. I think they think I think they think with a hefty NIL package they can get him. And why wouldn't they think that with getting back to the Nigel Pack thing? I think that, you know, schools are going to see that you have the right NIL package, you can get a guy. So
And Michigan also had a kid from Princeton,
Llewellyn
on campus, and he could be a good fit too. He's a little smaller. He's a combo guard. He's about 6'2". I'm not sure about his defense so much. Now, Princeton was a good team last year. I think they ended up on KenPom as number 107. But they're not nearly the team that Chattanooga was. But they were a pretty good team. I watched some of his tape. He looks plausible. He has a legitimate jump shot, which is rare. Smith is more of a, but he's taller, is more of a semi-set shooter from distance than a jump shooter, but you don't see a lot of jump shooters anymore. I really like Mallet. I don't know if Michigan's interested, but man, he's the fit. They got to have something in the backcourt because right now they got three guards.
It'll be interesting to see what the ripple effect is because, you know, as you go portal shopping, as I said before, you got to look on the other side and see, hey, how does the scholarship come free? That's number one. Is it Musa being in the, staying mm-hmm. in the draft? If Caleb comes back, does that affect someone else on the roster? If Michigan brings in a point guard to visit, obviously that means that's the guy that they're really pushing for. What does that do to any point guard or combo that's already on the roster? That is a legitimate question that they have to deal with moving forward. So I can't say what the roster is going to look like next year beyond the question of Musa and Caleb.
I don't think that there's any way they're going to get back everybody. Like if Musa actually does go through the draft process and nobody guarantees him like a late first round, and he comes back, I think Caleb Houston's going to realize, man, I'm kind of pushed out here, especially if Michigan's going to get a wing, because Houston needs to kind of move down to the four. And I think that's going to be the plan for him if Musa doesn't go. So, I mean, you got that going on. You don't really know what's going on in your backcourt. You know, they have certain guys that haven't played that much who might think that they deserve more playing time. And depending on how those decisions go, that will affect them as well. So scholarships are going to open up because playing time is just not there. No one's even mentioned Bear Shearman, by the way, the Jackrabbit. Ridiculous player out of South Dakota State. He just entered the portal too. Now he might have a destination in mind. I think Kansas is looking at him or something. But that's another perfect fit. There are other guys out there. I think Michigan's got a pretty good chance of getting Shannon. Based off of, I know a guy at Texas Tech who like follows all their boards, and he was like, when we got Namari Burnett out of you guys, like he was solid to Michigan, and then all of a sudden we knew, right? Like we have a guy who goes in and he fixes things, and then they got him. And it's not working with Shannon like it worked with Burnett. So that was really interesting to me. I think that there's some serious interest there from Shannon. The Malachi Smith, you mentioned him. He's more of a St. Louis guy, not a Chicago guy. I know they're both out of Illinois. Yeah. And so I think he's got a destination that he's coming out with in mind as well. But, yeah, I mean, we can't just throw names out there all the time, but that'd be good.
You can't, but I think, you know, the conversation that we've been having here for the last 20 minutes about NIL apply. So Tim McCormick and I sat down for a lengthy conversation with Hunter Dickinson that I'll be posting tomorrow probably. And his opinion, not getting specific to any guy, his opinion is that these decisions for portal guys, so let's set aside recruiting for a minute. Decisions for portal guys rise and fall on NIL. He was adamant about it. He said, you aren't going to get guys if you don't have an NIL package on the table, period. He said that. That's anyone, Michigan included. If you don't have NIL down for these guys, you aren't getting them. So I don't know what that means when it comes to Terrence. I don't know if that means, I mean, he's hanging around Hunter. He sees the NIL possibilities, right?
Yeah.
But they're possibilities as opposed to absolutes. Is he willing to take a shot on the possibility, the good possibilities, or does he need the absolute on the table in order to choose a place? I mean, I think that's a pressing question here.
Michigan's in a good position if they realized that if they could get this pulled together. Where, like, you know, NIL is going to make the decision. But Michigan's in a spot where they have Juwan Howard, they have the degree. They, if everything else is equal, Michigan can win these things. I think if Shannon, if the money was the same, if Michigan say, oh, yeah, we'll match whatever Texas Tech's going to give you, I think they would be done. I mean, that's not me coming from an insider information. That's just like I imagine that's where these things are going, just based off of how much he's visited, how long he's been talking about Michigan. Like, I think that would be true for a lot of these recruitments. If Michigan was able to say, look, whatever they're going to offer you, we're going to match, and then we're going to be Michigan on top of it, there's no way for them to beat you.
But then they have to get them into school too, right? And that's been a hang up at times as well.
Yeah, and that's been the rumor from Texas Tech. The rumor from Texas Tech is Michigan ain't, you know, is not letting them in, that, you know, well, or isn't going to transfer the credits.
Yeah,
now, maybe that was not true.
It's the credit transfer. Getting them into the school.
Getting them in is one thing. It's the credit transfer.
Well, right. Yeah, that's
right. And that's been a problem since I was in school and I took some classes in France and then couldn't get them to transfer and had to put off my graduation for a semester. Like, this has been a problem at Michigan for such a long time because Michigan has this imagination that the classes that they teach are, you know, somehow in a greater air than other college courses to a degree where they don't let it transfer unless you can find like an exact copy of the class. Now, a guy who's transferring like from Detroit Mercy or Wayne State, that happens so often that they actually have a lot of these connections made, right? These are previous transfers just in the regular student body. And really, what they're asking them to do is transfer like they're a regular student. You have to get into the school, and then you actually have to transfer your credits like a regular student. There's no special dispensation for transferring credits. Michigan could follow the lead of every other school, including a lot of schools on their level academically, to make that happen. Northwestern has figured out a way. Northwestern's a pretty good school. That degree is still worth something when you get out of there. It just, they're not under the control of anybody who can change it. So they actually, that office is siloed from people who can make decisions based off of how much they like football by design. So it's really hard to make that change.
Right. All right. We need to slide in a break here. When we come back on the other side, we're going to shift gears and talk NFL draft. Will Aiden Hutchinson go number one? Will the Lions have him on the table at number two? And if he's on the table, is there any way that the Detroit Lions pass on another Wolverine, like they passed on Lamar Woodley, like they passed on David Harris, like they passed on Brian Greasy, like they passed on Devin Bush? We can go down the line. They can't really seriously be contemplating passing on Aiden Hutchinson, can they?
They passed on Tom Brady, too.
Well, everyone passed on Tom Brady.
I know, but still, they were closer to Tom Brady than anybody else.
And they needed a quarterback that year, too.
And it wasn't like the Lions have had a quarterback since Bobby Lane. So.
All right, we will discuss on the other side here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA, The Ticket.
And we are clear on the radio.
You know, so what I gather from Hunter is there is a huge gap between the perception of what Michigan should be doing and what they can
what they are do.
What they are doing. Huge gap. So
I even saw the number today. I don't know if this is crazy, that Hunter will get $1 million. I saw that today. Now, I don't know if that's crap or anything, but
let me phrase it better. His and their, because I think he was talking from the perspective of not just his own perspective, but the perspective of student athletes, their perception of what Michigan should be doing versus what they can do. What they can do. There's a big gap there, like a big gap that even if they don't feel like they can go down the Miami path, the Life Wallet path, the NIL collective path, they at least have to address it with the guys to let them know, or the student athletes, let them know why. there's a vacuum.
But that's just the Michigan thing then, right?
Incidentally, is Life Wallet a thing? I mean, what is Life Wallet? I mean, do they have a product?
I thought it was an NIL front. I thought it was just a front so they could pass NIL money.
That's what I think. I don't think it's an actual product or an actual. So it's just like an organization to give money, in this case, to Nigel Pack or somebody else.
And a car.
And a car.
Yeah. Yeah, man, sweet deal
By the way, David, I mean, and talking about the NCAA, there was some college hockey coaches or group that got together that's making a pitch to the NCAA of unlimited coaches and unlimited scholarships.
I did see that. Yeah, unlimited scholarships and more than just three coaches.
Yeah,
which unlimited. Which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I don't know if that's going to go through. I mean,
I can't imagine. But, I mean, hockey has 18, I think. I think 20 is probably, or 21 might be a better number for hockey. You know, on baseball is ridiculous. You know what baseball's scholarship numbers
are? Nine or something, isn't it?
11 and a quarter.
11, yeah. Because it's almost the size of tennis.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, there's no reason for.
Well, there's a mix with Title IX. There's also like and the number of schools that want to compete versus, I mean, all these things are built up over the years, especially with baseball, because Southern teams jumped in to replace Northern teams as they were able to push out the Northern teams by changing the dates of the schedule. And then in hockey, you have a lot of really small schools who focus only on hockey.
So right, they don't even play football.
Right, right. So what happens is the big schools want to pass something. They want to, like, okay, we need to fix this. Three coaches paid is ridiculous. How we can't survive, like, we can't work this way. And then the small schools say, well, that's all we can afford, and they outnumber in the votes. That's why we have this stupid playoff system in the first place, because they like the fact that they can, you know, that it's randomized and they get a chance to win championships.
Well, you know, the small schools have in hockey already have a certain advantage, and I'm not necessarily opposed to it. And that certain advantage is they can take older kids who've been playing in the USHL or elsewhere.
Well, Michigan could do that too.
They could, but Michigan and Minnesota and aren't, and maybe a couple other, not generally. And so they're taking younger kids, and there's an advantage to having your 17 and 19 year olds playing against 24 and 5 year olds. 24 and 5 year olds often have an advantage, and
sure, that's sure they do,
and that's okay.
Being a man,
but yeah. I mean, yeah. So I always, when you look at these things that kind of pop up, and it's like, okay, this is a little weird system, or that's unfair, or whatever. Mm. I think that you have to decide: is this good or bad? Morally, like, oh, that should be the final decision there, right? Mm-hmm. Is it horrible that 25-year-olds are getting a free education after playing hockey for years in the NHL, and that these teams can compete with Michigan? I mean, Michigan doesn't like it because we want our high schoolers to be better than their guys out of high school. But it's,
back on the radio in about a minute, guys.
I think it's fine. I think they're people who are serious about getting an education. I think that you're probably more serious when you're older about getting an education. These are guys who are not going to have a career in the NHL. I think it's really good for college hockey that they do that.
I do too. And that's my point. I'm saying that that's legitimate. But you then shouldn't have the tournaments being played in Timbuktu.
Yes.
I mean, all you've done is minimize.
Or have everything be single elimination.
Yeah the single elimination.
Baseball doesn't.
Single elimination is stupid. The tournaments being played where they're played is idiotic. I mean,
now you're starting to get, like, Mel is starting to say things like, hey, we need to have home sites and go back to that. Right. Now, that's not going to happen right away.
Mel needs to have a job next week if he's going to
Right.
But what I'm saying is you're having a leader talk about program. Too.
May 1st, incidentally, Sam, May 1st, isn't that the last day you can enter the transfer portal?
Yeah, there is I think it's the last day
you can enter and be eligible this fall or winter. So football and basketball sports. Fall and winter sports. You have to tell your school your intention to enter the portal by the 1st.
And so as far as I know, no Michigan players entered the portal as of this moment.
As of this moment.
And it's like 2 days away or 3 days.
All right. So, guys, before we went to the break, I asked a question. And admittedly, this comes from a conversation that I had with Nick Baumgartner the other day covering the NFL draft and obviously college football for The Athletic, and said, hey, there's word from around a Ford Field that the Lions really like Kayvon Thibodeau, so much so that, you know, can't really. You know, people he talked to can't really call it, can't really say for sure that the Lions would take Aiden Hutchinson over Kayvon Thibodeau if Aiden's on the board. Do you guys buy that? Is there any way the Lions would leave Aiden Hutchinson on the board and take Kayvon Thibodeau over him. What do you think? Let's start with you, Dave.
Well, I don't know. I think, like you were talking earlier about the Lions passing on different Michigan players, but at the same time, like, if they're building for the guy with the highest upside or if they're trying to appease the fan base now, like, those are different questions, right? And, you know, you mentioned even off the air about, like, Sauce Gardner, and there's a lot of pieces they could go to. The Lions are in an interesting spot because they probably don't need an offensive tackle the way that, like, right, a lot of other teams do. And so there's really, now you're getting down to which defensive end do we like more. And if they like the upside of Thibodeau more and they think that he has, you know, a chance to have a higher ceiling or something, I mean, you could do it. And as much as, like, I'm a Michigan fan or I'm allegiances to professional sports teams, like I've rooted for the Jets for years. When they drafted the center out of Ohio State, I was really thrilled because he was really good. And I had to hate the guy for 4 years. And then I'm like, hey, try to go win me Super Bowl now. So I think that at that point, like, yeah, you would like to get your Hutchinson jersey or you'd like the guy you rooted for in his formative years. But ultimately, like, you got to go with who you think is going to be the best prospect. And if they like his tape and they like what they think he can bring, I mean, as a Lions fan, isn't that what you want?
I feel like if he was a lot, if the gap was significant, like if I thought Kayvon Thibodeau was that much better than Aiden Hutchinson, I'd take him. That upside was so much greater. But if I just think it's a little greater, if I think the gap is, you know, is sort of, it's kind of narrow. He's a little bit better. There's no way. There's no way, in my opinion, you can afford to take. Can you imagine the pressure?
Isn't that the difference in the NFL, though? It's just that little bit?
I don't know. If it is, if that's the difference, then you take the guy that has, you know, he was the player catalyst for the turnaround of one of the most storied programs in college football. Like, he was the guy, the main guy. He put up stats, big stats in big games. He's the super, he's a super culture fit. Like, if
you guys, you Sam, you guys are coming at this all wrong. It's like when earlier in the show when you're like talking about the NCAA as like an organization that runs college athletics. No, it's not. And Lions are not an organization about winning football games. You know who Aiden Hutchinson is? He's a winner. What are the Lions? Losers. He's not a culture fit for the Lions. The Lions are the 16th most best team as far as attendance, and they're 10th in the league as far as profitability. Why would you upset that? You don't have to win as the Lions. All you have to do is put people in Lions jerseys. Now, I'm a Michigan fan, and I'm a Lions fan. I did not choose to be a Lions fan like Craig. I don't know what you were thinking there, but I was born into this, right? and the only way that I can reconcile those two is I root for Michigan to win, and I just watch the Lions. Now, if they're going to entertain me one way or another. If they're winning, it's fun. If they're losing, they still find very entertaining ways to lose because they are, let's say it again, losers. So why would you want your Michigan fandom wrapped up in that?
Listen, hey.
Also, why would you wish that upon Aiden Hutchinson? Yes, really,
because
that
the alternative is you're wishing Trent Baalke on him. You're wishing the Jacksonville Jaguars.
No. He could go to a better. There are other teams out there in the draft because if he's there for the Lions to skip, then Trent Baalke has already skipped him, right?
Yeah.
So, like, he could go to the Texans.
That's been the alternative is that, hey, he's gone at number one and he's not on the board to pick. But if he is there, I mean, so who's right after the Lions? Who's picking third?
Texans.
The Texans.
The Texans? You want him to go to the Texans?
This is what happens at the top of every NFL draft. There are not, like, Patriots and Packers and Saints and teams.
You talk about a train wreck of an organization. They traded DeAndre Hopkins for essentially nothing. Who knows what they – who didn't know that Deshaun Watson had a problem
because all those
and to get in front of it.
Those franchises are train wrecks
for a while there.
Temporarily.
Wait a minute.
Bad, just... and then they get good again. The only team that's consistently there in the train wreck area are the Lions. Everybody else will spend some time down with us a little bit, and people will be like, oh, my God, the Vikings are terrible. No one, they're never going to win again. Do you remember, like, there was a decade where the Bucks were, like, the worst franchise in football? Yeah. Remember? Like, they'll all spend some time here with us. Yeah.
49ers. No, it just struck me. Rice and Harbaugh.
Who is the quarterback this year at Cleveland?
Deshaun Watson.
That's a good reason to be a Lions fan. And so I
no, that's a good reason not to be a Browns fan. Those are two different things.
Well, right. I have to pick someone. Right. And the
you still have 30 teams left to choose from before you get to the Lions.
Week one on Sunday, he'll be on someone else's bandwagon.
So yeah, but you know, the line, you know, first of all, if Balke passes on Hutchinson, and I think there's a chance because he hates Harbaugh, and that's probably a good enough reason for him to pass on Hutchinson. The PFF, Pro Football Focus, had Hutchinson as the highest graded player in the NCAA last year, and they have him as the number one player on their board. So Seth is right in the sense that there can't be all that much difference, you know, from an evaluation purpose right now between Thibodeau and Hutchinson. The Lions cannot pass Hutchinson if he's there. They just cannot do it because but they can't do it because the fans will probably storm Ford Field and
will.
Burn it down. And it, you know, like
they've
Northwestern
been coming back
did in
for
20 past.
Years. How is this the tipping point? Yeah.
And here, but you know, the thing is, if Hutchinson goes, the right player is Malik Willis.
No.
The right player for the Lions is Malik Willis.
In their second pick, when they're picking at the bottom of the
first
round,
First pick. Because the Lions, as you point out, Seth, are probably going to be crappy with Hutchinson or without Hutchinson. What the Lions need is a quarterback. And I think there's a 1 in 3 chance that this guy will be a real deal, that he'll be Josh Allen. And so you can't throw a 1 in 3 chance in the tank when you know there's some chance that you would have Josh Allen.
Well, you can when you have 2 first round picks again next year. And
big
so
deal, that'll probably blow those too.
Well, that's the point. Let me insert something real quick. With NFL quarterbacks, some people have finally been doing studies and figuring out why so many first round quarterbacks fail. And they found out the one thing that they were not looking at enough is the franchise itself. If you're a franchise that knows what it's doing, you can develop quarterbacks. If you're a franchise that flounders around, has a different coach every 3 years, forces the guy in there, puts him behind bad offensive lines, you are not going to develop your quarterback. And that is, they've been wasting lots of talent who would be great guys. If Malik Willis goes to the Lions, there's not a 33% chance. There's a 0% chance. Because the Lions are, let's say it again, losers!
So are you out on this coaching staff then?
I'm out on every coaching staff that comes to the Lions unless Jim Harbaugh becomes in charge of it. Like, there's no... The Lions organization, as long as the Fords own it, my dad said I'm not going to watch the Lions again as long as the Fords own it. And that was in the 80s when he said that. And he still kept on watching the Lions. That's what's going on here, okay?
I mean, half of you people are wearing Lions jerseys still.
That's because you can enjoy them. They're entertaining. They are going to entertain you all the time. That's why they are still one of the most profitable franchises in the league despite all the losing. They never have to change a thing.
No, you got to look at it this way. Is Malik Willis, is there a reasonable facsimile of Malik Willis, or is there likely to be one in next year's draft? And yes, he's not this once in a – you're going to be able to find a guy that good next year.
So I was talking to Alex Drain about this, and the really interesting thing that he said about that is, like, I said, well, why don't you do that? Pick somebody and then take a quarterback high next year. And he goes, well, because the issue is, and this is going to go against everything Seth just said, unfortunately, but is they actually might be all right this year. And then maybe you don't have a top 5, maybe you don't have a top 8 pick. And then are those quarterbacks gone by that?
But you have the ammunition to move up. You have 2 first round picks. You can move up. You know, if there's a quarterback, and this is what they do, I mean, teams trade up to get quarterbacks, right?
If there are other teams that don't want them, though, you know?
True, some teams
aren't going to trade out of that spot.
No one's trading out of a spot when they can get Joe Burrow. Right. I mean, and it don't matter what you offer them, because quarterbacks in the NFL are the deal. Yeah. And Seth makes a good point. You know, Pittsburgh will draft Malik Willis. He'll be a star. Mm-hmm. And we'll all say, well, yeah, it's Pittsburgh because that's a real organization as opposed to the Lions, which is, you know, a Mickey Mouse organization. And so that's, you know, but I don't know how to solve it. But yeah, I think Alex is wrong. You can't win. Jared Goff stinks. I mean, they're going to be, you know, they're going to be at the top of the draft next year too. So the point of perhaps taking the best player available makes sense. But to me, only if the best player available is Aiden Hutchinson.
I still like Sauce. I still like Sauce Gardner if Aiden's not on the board. A lot of the people like it. I mean, they like Thibodeau.
I mean, like, drop down. Somebody really wants Thibodeau and he's there, like, or someone really wants Hutchinson and he's there. There are teams that might, you know, trade up to get him there. And, like, you can do that too. You can trade down to, like, you know, pick 10 or something like that, and Sauce might still be there.
You know, yeah, they'll take Hamilton, who's teased to board 2.0. They'll take another human snail.
They play different positions.
I don't care. You still got to be able to move your feet in the NFL.
You don't think Hamilton can move?
No.
Did you watch him all this year?
He and Hutchinson were the two freaks on the freaks.
That's what I'm saying. Tease to board two in the secondary.
He's Tease to board 2.0.
If they had made Tease Tabor a safety, he might have been in
he
NFL.
He still would have been too slow.
Yes, maybe. Kyle Hamilton's faster than him, though. He's faster than Tease Tabor. That tells you something about how bad that pick was. Anyway. That'll do it for today's show. Another great roundtable session as always. We'll be back tomorrow recapping the draft, recapping the Softball Academy. Still time for you to make your donations to the Softball Academy, your Home Run Derby participant. A lot of great fun to be had on the softball field today, so hope to see a lot of you out there. That'll do it for us. We'll see you tomorrow here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050, WTKA The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports, Ann Arbor, a Cumulus station.
Go Losers!
Oh boy.